Welcome to the 21st. I'm Nyla Boodoo. Tonight, President Donald Trump delivers his first State of the Union address. Just a reminder, we'll be carrying that speech live via NPR. It starts at 8 p.m. State of the Unions are traditionally a time for the president to address not just Congress, but the Supreme Court and all of the executive branch and the country. Tonight, though, the chamber won't be entirely full. 11 House Democrats say they're boycotting President Trump's State of the Union address. Three of them are from Illinois. We'll speak with one, Jan Schakowsky, in a minute. But first, yesterday afternoon, I had a chance to catch up with a Republican member of our Illinois delegation. Representative John Shimkus represents a wide swath of southern and central Illinois, part or all of 33 counties. Congressman, welcome back to the 21st.
I'm happy to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Let me ask, I think we always, or presidents always start the State of the Union address by talking about what they think the State of the Union is. What do you think the State of our Union is right now?
Well, it depends on how you, you know, from what your perspective. First of all, I think that economically, I think the State of the Union is getting stronger. I'm a big believer that what we did on tax reform was very beneficial to individuals and also not just from their own tax return, but also on job creation and reinvestment and capital and higher wages. And that proof is in the pudding, along with easing regulatory burden. I just think there's a new kind of an uptick in optimism on the economy. On other issues like immigration, it's been a tough go. I mean, we're still struggling with how to provide some certainty to the DACA young adults while complying with some of the requests of reforming the immigration system like chain migration and the lottery system, along with the president's request for a wall. So that's, you know, that's, I think we're struggling on trying to find you know, a unified position on how to address this immigration issue. If we go to infrastructure, which I think he'll talk about, I think people aren't pleased with where we're at in infrastructure, so they want us to get on board with a plan, and hopefully the president will lay out something on infrastructure and how we pay for strengthening our roads and bridges and our locks and dams and the like that. So, and it's a very dangerous world, so I think there's still uncertainty about our threats, North Korea and Iran, but also the fact that we've got men and women in harm's way and equipment, and with our budget fights that we've been having, the people that have been harmed the most are our men and women in uniform, and you see that in equipment failures, you see that in stress and strain on the force. So, you know, there are some things that are good, and there are some things that we still have questions on.
Representative Shimkus, you mentioned immigration. We've seen already some reports about the discussions that the president will be having about his immigration plan, which includes a path to citizenship for 1.8 million people who were covered, as you mentioned, under DACA, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. It would also include $25 billion for a border wall, cuts in family immigration visas. Would you support a bill that includes all of these proposals?
We have a bill in the House that's very similar. I think that where people are tripping over the words of citizenship, pathway to citizenship, I think that the discussions, and again, these are discussions between the executive branch and some senators. I think the House has its own bill. I think that we definitely could support an issue of legal status. And the question is, the people who came here illegally, do they get citizenship, or is there a delayed system by getting in the back of the line, which would be fair to the people who are working through the citizenship process now? So, you know, the devil's always in the details. The House plan will probably be different than the Senate. We've got to get our own act together between the two chambers and then negotiate with the president. So let's see what shakes out in this process.
President Trump was also just at the World Economic Forum in Davos. He's talked in the past about overhauling international trade, pulling out of agreements like NAFTA. What are you hoping to hear from the president on trade?
Yeah, I talk about trade quite a bit, too, because trade is very important for my agriculture community. We need markets so my corn and beans and my beef and my pork can get to places that want to buy that. On the other flip side is that there are countries that that subsidize our manufacturing, and that's where you get the words free and fair. We want to have free and fair competition. So if there's a, I mean, the the federal government just took action against Chinese solar panel builders because the Chinese government subsidizes the production of those goods. That's not fair trade. So how do you manage to get in the manufacturing system the fairness without putting so much pressure on these countries that they start retaliating through the ag sector? So I'm one who's saying it's not an easy process, but I think that's the needle they're trying to thread.
Representative, three of your Democratic colleagues in the House are planning to boycott the State of the Union. One of them, Representative Bobby Rush, said, and I'm going to quote here, quote, "This is a presidency that has been built on racism, stupidity, and lies, which has already wasted enough of America's time, and I will not waste any more of mine," end quote. I wonder, as a fellow representative from Illinois, what's your response to that and to others who, of your other lawmakers who are boycotting the speech?
Well, I always make it my job not to comment on other members' votes or their statement. I just don't get drawn into that. Their statements speak for themselves. They have to be responsible to the citizens who send them there. I think it's you're there representing the people of your district. That's why I always go. I'm not always pleased when I'm there, but you know, I'm not going to be drawn into making a statement on a colleague's position and put words in their mouth. They can do that themselves.
Members of Congress usually bring a guest to the State of the Union. Senator Dick Durbin's bringing, actually, you mentioned DACA. I believe he's bringing a medical student who's supposed to be, I think, the first MD, PhD, DACA student at Loyola's medical school. One of your Republican colleagues, Adam Kinzinger, is bringing Rockford area business owner, Patty Thayer. Who are you taking to the State of the Union?
So I've been a member, as many people know, for 20 years. I can think of a lot of people who've sacrificed to allow me to do this job for the people that I love to represent. But no one sacrifices more than family. So I am proud to bring my 18-year-old son to be my guest, who is going to get a chance to visit with other members of Congress, and it's a way that I can thank him for being a young, wonderful young man and has been able to get to 18 years old, even though he's had an absent father much of that time.
Representative John Shimkus is a Republican. He represents Illinois' 15th congressional district, a big part of southern and central Illinois, part or all of 33 counties. Representative Shimkus, thanks for being with me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Right now, 11 House Democrats have said they will be boycotting tonight's speech. Three of them are from Illinois. I'm joined now by one of them. Congressman Jan Schakowsky represents Illinois' 9th Congressional District. It covers parts of Chicago's north side and northern suburbs and also stretches northwest to include Des Plaines and Arlington Heights. Representative, welcome to the 21st.
Thank you so much.
You didn't attend the inauguration of President Trump, and now you're not going to his State of the Union speech. You've been in Congress since 1999. Have you ever not attended either of these events before?
I have never not attended. I was there through all of the Bush years, for example, and I didn't agree with him on many things. But he was the president of the United States. I felt that I should show up and that he deserved that respect. I don't feel that way with Donald Trump. I think that he has subjected the American people to a year of racist and erratic and divisive behavior and speech, and I refuse to accept that as the new normal.
I wonder how your colleagues, like, did you have a discussion with other colleagues who said they weren't going? Is this something that people have talked about among the Democratic Party in the House?
No, I decided on my own early last week that I wasn't going to attend. I didn't proselytize among my colleagues. This is a personal decision where I felt that I could not normalize a president who has been, millions and millions of Americans have been disrespected by this president. He has flirted with nuclear holocaust. He has been anti-immigrant from the first day of his campaign. He has demonize the young people, the dreamers. Done everything to help the richest Americans at the detriment of ordinary people. So for all those reasons, I just felt like, no, I'm not going to go and stand up as he walks through that center aisle, glad-handing and patting on the back and walking to the podium and telling us what a great job he's been doing.
I saw that you tweeted that this is something that your constituents want. What have you heard from folks in your district about how they're feeling about the president?
Well, it's been interesting because the minute I announced that I was not going to be going, I have gotten tremendous response thanking me. Perfect strangers walking up to me at the grocery store or on the street and saying, yes, thank you for not going. And I had received some calls in anticipation of the State of the Union asking me please not to go. So far, I have really not heard any pushback from people who say that I owe it to the president and to our country to go there. It's been quite the opposite.
Representative Schakowsky, I was just speaking with your Republican colleague, John Shimkus, about the fact that President Trump will likely discuss immigration this evening with reports that his plan includes a path to citizenship for the 1.8 million people who were covered. You mentioned DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. There are reports that it would also include $25 billion for a border wall and cuts in family immigration visas. Would you support a bill that includes all of these proposals?
You know, this is like throwing a crumb to, not that the dreamers are crumbs, but throwing one item to the dreamers, and then like a five-course meal to reduce immigration on the other hand. I'm a first-generation American, and my parents and grandparents never would have made it under the merit system that the president wants to instate now. This is people who can speak English, who have money in their pocket, who have a great education. My grandparents had none of those when they came here, and yet because my grandfather was able to go through the alleys of Chicago selling fruits and vegetables on a horse-driven wagon, four children went to college, and his granddaughter is now a member of the United States Congress. And and many countries that are eligible for visas now would not be. And you know what he called those countries. I'm not going to repeat it on the air. But calling names of people who aspire to be Americans, it's just wrong. It's immoral. And so his plan for immigration is to cut by 50% legal immigration to this country. And believe me, that will take a toll on our economy because we are built on immigrants and their ambitions.
And so that said, Congresswoman, how do you intend to work with your Republican counterparts in the House to reach a deal on this? There's a deadline for March for DACA. How do you anticipate working together on this?
I hope we can work together on this, that we will agree to address what's in front of us right now, which is the question of the dreamers, the young people who came with their parents, with no decision of their own. And I just met with four of them. One of them works for the City Colleges of Chicago. Another just established a auto repair shop in my hometown. Two others are college students that want to be extremely productive and contribute to our society. So these are the wrong people to pick on. Let's get that done first. We can have a longer conversation about border security and about the rest of the immigration policy. But I'm hoping that by by February 8th, actually, the next deadline, that we can come up with an agreement about these young dreamers and pass the DREAM Act.
And so do you think that you would support something regarding DACA? Republicans are saying it has to also include funding for the wall. Is that something you would support?
You know, we can support some things on border security, but I'd be surprised if the Republicans are interested in spending that kind of money on a useless concrete, whatever they make it out of, wall. I wouldn't object to, though I don't think we need more border security, because immigration into the United States has not been a problem of late. We do have a lot of border security right now, but I would be willing to make that kind of trade. But if we're talking about spending tens of billions of dollars unnecessarily, because the President of the United States made this ridiculous promise, and of course it included that Mexico would pay for it, I would hope we don't have to do that. But, you know, I'm willing to look at a compromise, but it cannot include those really repressive other immigration issues. No.
Representative Jan Schakowsky is a Democrat for Illinois' 9th Congressional District, parts of Chicago's north side and the northern suburbs, as well as the northwest part of Chicago suburbs as well. Representative Schakowsky, thanks for being with me. I appreciate it.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.